Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Until we enter eternity, the book of Revelation is our best hope of grasping the wonder of what lies ahead. As the closing act of God's great drama of redemption, it completes the New Testament. Today, more of our look into the future at the climax of history. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a four-part series on the drama of redemption. Turn to Revelation chapter 5 as we go up to heaven and see there a scroll and a lamb.
At stake is nothing less than this question: are the promises of God worthy to be believed, or are they not? Is the purpose of God going to be fulfilled, or will the purposes of God, as he wraps up history, will they be aborted? That's the question, and well might John weep. But then when he weeps, the angel says, the elder rather, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And again, we're introduced to apocalyptic literature, where you have metaphors that are the mixing of metaphors. It is the lion that is going to open the book, but no lion appears. In addition to that, instead of a lion, we have, in verse 6, a lamb. "I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes." Have you ever seen a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes? No. But the lamb, of course, is Jesus. The lion is Jesus. The seven horns indicate authority and kingship. And then the seven eyes, his omniscience, seeing everything in the world and beyond. And you'll notice that these are the seven spirits of God that permeate the earth. Does that mean that we now give up on the Trinity because there are seven spirits of God? Of course not. Just like the eyes are symbolic of his ability to see all things, the seven spirits indicate the fullness of the Holy Spirit as it permeates the entire universe. And on it goes. And now we come to the seals. Remember this, that this scroll was wrapped up, and then you'd unwrap it a piece for chapter 1, and then there was another seal, and that would be broken, and that would be chapter 2, chapter 3, and all the way along the line. Have you ever been at a party? Usually it happens at a party, where you want to give someone a gift, and you give them a real big box, and then within that box, there's another box, there's another box, and another box, and then you get to box number 7, and box number 7 has 7 boxes, and then you get to the 7th of that series, and that one also has 7 boxes. That's the way the judgments are in the book of Revelation. And that's why at this time it is so critical for you to look at the chart which was in your bulletin today. Please turn to it now. Your chart has 2 different sides to it. One says end time prophecy. That's not the one you want to be looking at right now. Look at the one that says the outline of Revelation and notice the judgments. Do you see that the seal judgments are chapter 6? And then we have the trumpet judgments, 8 and 9. And then the 7 bowls or saucers with their judgments is chapter 16. So if you wanted to just read all the judgments of the book of Revelation, you could read chapter 6, 8 and 9, and 16, and you'd have them all. And it is best to see one as the continuation of the other, even though there are some reasons that I won't go into where it appears at first that it doesn't fit. But the point is, these are the judgments that God is going to heap upon the earth. These are different than all the persecutions that the church has ever endured, because throughout Revelation it will say, "This is the wrath of God on godless, sinful humanity." Now let's look at the first seals of chapter 6 very briefly. He opens them, and the first one is nothing less than false peace. there's someone riding on a white horse, and he has the ability to conquer. The second one clearly is war. You'll notice it says he's permitted to take peace from the earth. The third one, verse 5, I heard the living creature say, come, and it's a black horse, it's famine. And then you have death in verse 7, and this happens to be the fourth seal. But I want you to notice the next seal, the fifth seal, number 9, that is verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And they were each given a white robe and to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. Parenthesis. Have you ever wondered what the people in heaven today are like? They don't have their resurrection bodies yet. My father, who died at 106, what is he doing? What does he look like? Can he communicate with others? Well, obviously the answer is yes. These folks don't have their resurrection bodies. They're waiting for justice and for their bodies. But notice that the soul takes on the characteristics of the body. And so the fifth seal isn't a judgment per se. It's a little vignette into heaven. And on the seals go. You say, well, okay, if the seals are chapter 6, and the trumpet judgments begin, they're 8 and 9, what's all the intervening chapters? The intervening chapters are sidebars. They are sidebars. And we know for sure that they are not chronological, and the reason is because every once in a while you have this vision of the return of Jesus, and then you go down to earth again. And this is why the book becomes confusing and why it elicits some disagreement is people disagree regarding the schedule, the chronology. And that's why I haven't included any chronology in the chart as such, except the general chronology that is very clear. Because I don't want you to get hung up on the chronology as much as on the events themselves. Remember, even if we don't understand exactly where they all fit, we can benefit from the book. And blessed is the person who hears, who reads, and who does the words of this prophecy. And by the way, the reason prophecy is complicated is you add to this the book of Daniel, which has many prophecies. You add Ezekiel, where Ezekiel talks about Russia, and then he names a lot of countries, most of which are Mideastern countries, particularly the Islamic nations going up against Jerusalem and God destroying them. How do you fit it all in? That's why prophecy is complicated. But today we're going to keep it simple, even though I'm well aware that this message is going to stir up a lot more rabbits than I'm able to shoot. All right? Now, you're with me. Chapter 7 tells us that people are going to be saved during the tribulation. It tells us that God is going to seal 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe. And they are going to be sealed, and believe it or not, they're going to go all the way through the tribulation, and not one of them is going to die. We know that later from chapter 14. And it could be that they are the ones who are sealed, and God sovereignly saves them, and through their witness in the tribulation, you have a great multitude that no man can number in chapter 7 here, beginning at verse 9. And then John already sees them as being in heaven, and I have to give you these verses. Verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. He will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wow. Chapter 8 and 9, we now come to the trumpet judgments. The trumpet judgments are so severe, you can read them on your own, but there are hailstones, fish of the sea, a third of them are dying. When you get to chapter 10, it is an encouragement for John, And chapter 11 tells us about two witnesses, and many people think that they are Moses and Elijah, and they witness all during the tribulation period. They do miracles, but they are a threat. They are a threat to the Antichrist. And when they are put to death, everybody rejoices. It's a premature Christmas. They send one another gifts, and then at the end, they are raised and they're taken to heaven. And that's why people think that it may be Moses and Elijah, but they're not identified. When you get to the seventh trumpet, it is the return of Christ in verse 15. But here's the point I want to make. When you think of the judgment still to come, the bowls or the vials, as they are called, they end up also with the return of Christ. And that's why we say that inherent within the trumpets themselves and this seventh trumpet also is the other judgments. That indicates that they are indeed connected. Chapter 12, what an interesting chapter. Satan pursues Israel. Satan has always hated Israel, the Jews. And the woman who gives birth to the child, and the child is obviously Jesus, is Israel, and Satan pursues it. Satan is cast out of heaven. You say, well, what in the world is he doing there? Well, the Bible says that he accuses the saints day and night. You look at the book of Job, where Satan comes and begins to talk to God about Job. There's that kind of dialogue taking place in the heavens, and Satan is so angry. It says that when he was thrown down to earth, he was so angry. I love it there in verse 12. He has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. I can hardly wait for Satan's time to be very, very short. Do we have any takers out there today?
This is Pastor Lutzer. Let me quickly make a suggestion. I think it would be great if you were to be able to receive these messages on CD or DVD, and at the end of this broadcast, you'll be told how that can be done, and then sit down with an open Bible, particularly this message that I preach on the book of Revelation. If you were to go through the scriptures with me, you'll be able to put the various aspects of the book of Revelation in relationship. And of course, this series is entitled The Drama of Redemption. It begins in the book of Genesis in a garden, but it ends in a city, as we shall see. The city called the Brand New Jerusalem. And in between, what we have is the works and the plan of God. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, let me urge you to do that, because the point of it all is that God comes to redeem all who will trust him as Savior. So from my heart to yours, I trust that Jesus is your Savior.
We're nearing the end of Dr. Erwin Lutzer's series on the drama of redemption as we now fly through the book of Revelation. Don't miss the remaining programs that give us a big picture view of all God has done for us. The Drama of Redemption can be yours on CD or DVD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.